I'd like to ask you a bunch of questions here. How do you handle the following? Someone who is tempting you to sin. Knowledge. How do you handle your possessions? The issues of life. Your spouse. Co-signing for a loan. Sexual temptation. Wisdom. Forbidden fruit. Talking too much. Beauty without discretion. Depression. Unfulfilled hope. Bitterness. Hatred. One who thinks he is always right. Strife. Someone who has been offended. A false witness. The attempt at self-forgiveness. The desire for evil. Rebellious children. The power of alcoholic drinks. Laziness. Something good that you have discovered. Someone who excuses deception as only a joke. The future. Guilt. Venting your feelings. Employees in a business. And finally, how do you handle your own business? All these things, and many other things of life, that I could give you and just ask you questions about all day long, are addressed in a writing that I have discovered. It reveals that some of the matters that I have listed are wrong, and some things are right. How do we know which ones are right and which ones are wrong? How do we learn what to do with the problems that are thrown our way every day throughout life? Is there something that I can read that will help me to know wisdom and instruction and words of understanding? That will give me instruction in wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. That will give me prudence, knowledge, and discretion. Is there something that even a wise man or a wise woman could read? And as a result, even he or she will increase in learning and attain even wiser counsel than they've had before. What can I read that is trustworthy so that I may know what the words of wisdom are? Where is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom? The answers to all these questions I've been asking you this morning are found in a very brief book. Now, sometimes, you know, we want long explanations. We want something that will tell us this and that and so forth and so on. But at other times, we want something that is short, to the point, and easily memorized. The book that I am talking about is the book of Proverbs in the Bible. Those 31 items with which I began, each one of them was taken from each chapter in Proverbs. All I did was open up chapter 1, scan through it. Oh, that'd make a good point for my sermon there. I went to chapter 2 and found another one. Chapter 3, all the way through chapter 31. Just scanned over the verses quickly. And found various issues of life that I know all of us deal with at some time or another. And I thought, well, this just shows that the book of Proverbs deals with everything in life. Listen to the opening promises, chapter 1, starting at verse 1, of this divine book of wisdom. And I'm going to tell you this for those of you that either are following with me in your Bibles or who take notes on the Scriptures. Every single passage that I will give you today will come from either Proverbs chapters 1, 3, 4, 8, 9, I believe. There may be one or two in a couple other places. And it'll be one time where we'll go outside the book of Proverbs, and that'll be in Mark. And that'll be at the very end. So that'll make it easier for you to turn in your Bible as well as to take notes. Listen to chapter 1, starting at verse 1. This is how the Bible, or how the book of Proverbs, introduces itself. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma. The words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. What an introduction. I just love what Solomon says there, because he covers so much concerning knowledge and wisdom. Every tool that we need to deal with the problems of life and the issues of life, he has said in those first 7 verses, we've got the tools right here in this little tiny book of Proverbs. And you know there's 65 other books of the Bible that we could talk about as well, but how big is Proverbs? Well, in my Bible here, I can just select Proverbs and say, well, that's it right there. And that even includes some stuff that I don't even use in my Bible, comments and other things that they put in there that I know other people like, but to me they just get in the way. But anyways, that book is so small. Yet the skills that I need for understanding people and myself and other issues in life are in these 31 chapters. Therefore, the wisdom of the book of Proverbs is crying out to each of us to be read. Look at the, stay in chapter 1 and look at verses 20 to 23. Wisdom calls aloud outside. That is, wisdom's calling out to you, he's saying. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Finding the wisdom revealed in this book will help you deal successfully with every issue of life and every problem of life with which you are confronted. Therefore, if we turn over to chapter 3, starting at verse 13, here is how Solomon says we shall be blessed if we listen to this woman, known as wisdom, crying out to us to be heard. He says this, happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who retain her. Solomon continued to show why the wisdom found in the book of Proverbs will make you successful. Starting there at verse 18, or verse 19, I should say, try and figure out here what he's implying. I want you to notice what he does in verses 19 and 20, and then what he says after that. He continues, "The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet." Now, did you understand what Solomon just did to us right there? In verses 13 through 18, he said, "Now, if you take hold of wisdom and don't let go of her, excuse me, here is how you shall be blessed." Then all of a sudden, he talks about the Lord in verses 19 and 20, using wisdom. And look what the Lord did with wisdom. He built this planet upon which we live. He created the heavens that we gaze into every day. Then in verse 21, he comes back to us. Says, "My son, don't let these things depart from you." Do you understand his reasoning? Do you understand what he was implying in verses 19 and 20? That we can have the same wisdom that God used to establish the earth and the heavens. Solomon is not promising, therefore, we can create our own universe. He is simply saying the same tool, the same tool, the same skill that God used to create the heavens and the earth, he makes available to little humans like us. Would you do yourself a favor and for the next several days think about what he just said there? Would you think about would you please think about the wisdom that he has said God used, and that you have the same tool available to you? And that Solomon is writing about that in the book of Proverbs as part of his introduction to the Proverbs. You see, actually the Proverbs, what we might call the actual collection of the writings of the Proverbs, doesn't start until chapter 10. The first 9 chapters are actually what you might call an introduction, with a few proverbial sayings stuck in there from time to time. But in this introduction, he's saying, "Listen, my son. Listen, sons and daughters way off into the future. All sons and daughters of God. I am writing a book here by the inspiration of the Spirit, sent by the God who gave me wisdom, and you can have the same wisdom. Not just that Solomon had, but that God has." That is an absolutely fantastic thought, isn't it? Proverbs shows, Proverbs chapter 4, that while wisdom is looking for us, we also have to be looking for her. Proverbs chapter 4, let's start verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Now here's the verse I want you to focus on. If you can't remember any other verse today, please note this one, Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not go. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. So, we've already seen passages from Proverbs that pictured wisdom as a woman. She's crying out to us and saying, you simple ones, I've got something you need, and I give it to you freely. But now, Solomon goes a little bit further and says, with the same diligence, we need to be looking for her. With all you're getting, with all your power, all your might, all your strength, all your energy, all your mind, all your heart and soul, look for wisdom. And you'll be blessed mightily for it. Now you turn a few pages and you go to Proverbs chapter 8. In chapter 8, the whole chapter is what is known as a personification of wisdom. Solomon writes as though wisdom is a woman. And of course, we've already seen a little bit of that, but the whole chapter this time is devoted to that. She's a woman, and she's speaking to us. She's crying out to us. She's begging us, please listen to me. Listen now to the greatest woman you will ever hear speak to you. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill. In other words, she wants everybody to see, everyone to be able to hear her. She doesn't go in secret anyplace. It's not hard to find her if we go after her diligently. Beside the way where the paths meet, verse 3, she cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. My mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. So here she is showing us, you need to listen to what I have to say. If you just listen, your life will be blessed more than if you gained all the material wealth of this earth. Now, in verse 22, she demonstrates her value even more when she says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old." See, this is the same woman speaking, the same woman who says, "Listen, simple ones, I have something I have to say to you." The same one who said that says, "The Lord possessed me in the very beginning when he did all his creation." And she goes on to explain how the Lord used her wisdom in creating all the things that we see. And finally, at the end of the chapter, she pronounces a blessing to everyone who listens to her. And some of those verses I'll read back to you a little bit later. Here's what I'm wanting you to get from all these passages I've been reading. To benefit from all these promises that we have just read, read the book of Proverbs daily. Meditate upon it. And then put it into practice. Read it. Meditate upon it. And then live it. Now, at first I was going to say, study it, memorize it. But you know, to me, studying and memorizing sounds like hard work. There's just sometimes I don't want to do hard work. I want to do something that's easy. It's easier for me to read part of the book of Proverbs and just to think about what it said. And before I know it, I've begun to memorize it. And I begin to compare with other Proverbs. And then I'm confronted with situations in life almost daily. And I think, there's a proverb for that one, and I know what it is. I know what to do about this now. Or someone says, "Hey, what do you do about this situation here?" Well, I'll say, "Well, over in the book of Proverbs, Solomon said this." It's amazing how things open up to you when you read it and meditate upon it. Now, I know that the New Agers have taken that word meditation, and they mean something by it that is not meant in the Bible. Generally what they will mean, you know, is to sit down on the floor with your legs crossed and your hands in a certain position, and you're supposed to say "Om" over and over and over and over again. But that's not what biblical meditation is. Biblical meditation is reading the text, thinking about it, pondering it, figuring out why it says what it says and what it means for you and how you can put it into practice. There are two people with whom I am going through the book of Proverbs. Nathan and I, and my wife, Carrie and I. And what we do is this. We read the chapter that corresponds to the day. For example, tomorrow will be January 12th. So, Nathan and I, for example, our office, or usually we meet in his office, we'll read Proverbs chapter 12. We cut the chapter in half, Maybe I'll read the first half and he reads the second half. But as each of us is reading, if the reader himself has something he wants to say or a comment that he wants to make or a question that he has, he stops and does it. Or the other one who's listening, same thing. And Nathan and I have learned so much from the book of Proverbs in this process. And Carrie and I try and do a little bit different. And frequently, Nathan and I and Carrie and I miss these opportunities for one reason or another. But what Carrie and I will try to do is divide the chapter in half and then take that first half in the morning, cut it in half, and do our two parts. And then in the evening, cut that second half, the second half in half, and then each of us reads part of it. We have our discussions, and then in each case, we'll have a prayer. And the prayer is based upon what we've just read. And in the case of Nathan and I, what we like to do is we pick a verse, one of the Proverbs, that we think, you know, I really need to learn that one today. I really need to focus on that one. So we'll pick one, and sometimes we write it down or we just remember what it says and we think about it through the day. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, the wisdom that just is pouring out of this book and pours into your heart and soul and starts to fill you up is an absolutely amazing process. And Proverbs chapter 8 blesses the person who receives daily instruction from the book of Proverbs. Now let's go back to Proverbs 8. I told you I would read from it again. Look at verses 34 to 36. Here is how this woman, Wisdom, ended what she had to say in chapter 8. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Look at a man. Picture a man standing at a gate, and then he moves closer to the doors of the house. There's a woman inside, and he wants to hear her speak. And he maintains this eagerness, this routine, daily. And again, that woman is Wisdom. The daily activity is reading from and meditating upon this blessed book. Now sometimes, Carrie and I, or Nathan and I, will miss a day in our reading. But you know, if we miss tomorrow, for example, then there will always be March 12th. And it won't fall probably on Monday. I don't know if it will or not. Or February is the next month coming along, I guess. Maybe a month straight there. But there'll be a March 12th too. But you get the idea. If we miss chapter 12 tomorrow, then we'll hit it in another month. Now you're probably saying, well, I'm all alone. I'm single. Or I'm a widow or something. Well, what I would encourage you to do is get a partner. And every day at a certain time, you call each other up on the phone and you read over the phone together. And you go through this process with one another. If you're really not sure how it goes on, I'd encourage you to come here to the building, to Nathan's office at 10 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Thursday. That's when we do it. Sit in with us. And we go anywhere from 15 minutes to 20 minutes. Of course, it doesn't take that long to read a chapter in the book of Proverbs, but it's all the talking that we do and the questioning and the edifying of one another that we do with one another. There are two women calling out to you. Now, this whole time I've been saying one woman, but let's turn to chapter 9 now. There are two women calling out to you. The first, as we've already discovered, her name is Wisdom. Look what Wisdom has to say, or what she does, I should say, in verses 1 through 6, Proverbs 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. Now, the second woman who was calling out to us, her name is Foolishness. Go over to verse 13. And there, Solomon says this. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by who go straight on their way. Now, I want you to go back to verse 4. Go back to verse 4. And I continue to read. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Now you're thinking, where did Don go? Well, I didn't say I was going to read verse 4. I wanted you to go back to verse 4, but I continued to read verse 16. And then I read verse 17 when you were in verse 5. And when I was reading verse 16, you were able to follow right along with me, especially if you have the New King James Version. You notice that they were identical. Wisdom and foolishness are saying the same thing to us. And then both of them, verse 5 and verse 17, say, I've got bread for you. Interesting, isn't it? Two women want our attention really bad. In the strongest way. Now I'll come back to verse 18. And I'll really be in verse 18, and you will really be in verse 18 this time. But he who does not know that the dead, but he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. So here's what I'm showing you. Both wisdom and foolishness are crying out to us with similar pleas and promises. Both of these women offer bread, but one is the bread of life and the other is the bread of death. Every day these women cry out to us. Do we know which one is which? To whom do we give heed? Brother, I'd encourage you to start the plan like what I've just proposed to you that I do with Carrie and Nathan, or do your own of some sort and watch how your soul is then filled with wisdom. Now, here is the single reference that I will give to you this morning outside of the book of Proverbs. It's Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ, after his death, burial, and resurrection, but before his ascension back up into heaven, appeared to his disciples and gave them what we call the Great Commission. And he told them in verse 15 that they are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he says this in verse 16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who disbelieves will be condemned. Here's the best way to start off on wisdom. By accepting his plan of salvation. He wants to save us. He wants to save everyone. But if we don't believe, he says, you're already lost. And of course, he doesn't want that to happen. He didn't leave heaven. And I know nothing's a trouble for God, but let's say it in human terms. And go through the trouble of living on this earth as a carpenter and everything that he had to do. Go through 3.5 years of a ministry where people ultimately rejected him and killed him. Only at the end to say, well, you don't believe, well, that's just too bad for you. No, he wants every one of us to be saved. He wants you to believe with all your heart. And he wants you to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. For those of you that are ready to do that, and you don't want to delay any longer, come forward right now as we stand and sing.